on Sunday podcast. I'm your host, Benjamin Chapin. Around here, we believe that faith was never meant to stay inside church walls. Each episode brings honest conversations, biblical wisdom, and practical tools to help you follow Jesus in your everyday life. Let's get started. All right, let's jump in with my guest, Crystal Chapin, my beautiful bride. 15 years. Next month. No, not next month. December. I remember. December 17th. She's a mother of three beautiful kids, my wife, and she has a heart and calling for teaching. She has had several speaking engagements in both churches and in the community. She has a deep love for people and children. Right now, she's working in a call center as a software support specialist as she determines the next steps regarding that calling to be a teacher. There's been some talk about a parenting support class, starting one up here in Waco, and she's also investigating opportunities to teach inside churches, you know, like pre-K and first grade and second grade, stuff like that. She's my lover and she's my best friend, my wife, Crystal Chapin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Let's start things off and just talk about teaching and catch us up on Crystal Chapin for the last 15 years as far as teaching goes.
So I started in schools when Emma went to preschool. I didn't want to be away from her, and I didn't ever want her to go to daycare. It was the only way that I could just be with her most of the time. She was going to her dad's off and on, and I just wanted to spend more time with her. So I started in that school, and I love the teacher that I worked with. She was so good at teaching, and so I kind of fell in love with that way. But then it wasn't until I was in this other classroom when there was this little girl who their family moved there from China, and she didn't speak English, or so we thought, and so she never spoke at all. And we always had accidents, and because she wouldn't come up to us and say she had to go to the bathroom, she didn't speak at all, ever. And then one day she came up and said, "Miss Crystal, I have to go potty." And I was like, "Okay, let's go." And then that same day, she was telling me about how she had a brother, and she was telling me about her dad's work. And we thought that this little girl didn't even know English and that she had no idea what we were saying. And then she started talking to me. And that's when I started to realize, maybe I can do this. Like, I enjoy it, but maybe I should be doing this. And so that's when it kind of started. I wanted to be a teacher. And so I worked in schools as an aide. And then I eventually started getting my own classrooms, and I was in schools in some capacity for about 12 years until last year when we moved back to Idaho. I went back to my job that, if you listen to your podcast, we moved to Texas and then back to Idaho. And I went back to that job just because it was easy and the people knew me and I could just call them up and be like, "Hey, I'm back in town. Y'all need a teacher?" And they did. So I worked with them during the summer and doing just some watching a few of the kids before school started. And school was about to start in a couple of weeks. And I couldn't go back. I ended up calling them and telling them, "I know this is unexpected, but most of the time things with God are unexpected." And I was like, "I've just been praying through this and I don't think I can come back." And so I started serving at a restaurant and I enjoyed it, and I only had to work at night, and I got to be home during the day, and we were homeschooling the boys. Well, they went to school for a little bit, and then we moved here, and I wasn't going to go back to teaching, so I just got a serving job, and then my shoulder got hurt at work somehow, or just from repetition, I don't know, and so I was like, "Okay, well, maybe I'll go back to the classroom. Like, I know I can get a classroom job." And so I went back to the classroom. Turns out I couldn't lift kids either, and it still hurt my shoulder. So I got a job at Your Work. They were hiring for the call center. So I got a job there, and I love my job. And I was like, "Hey, I'm not a teacher anymore. I can't do it with my shoulder. Like, I'm too old. My body is breaking down, and I can't do this anymore." And my job kind of fulfills that part of teaching for me, is where I get to still teach people because they call in and ask how to use the software, and I get to teach people still. But about a month ago, right, when we started, the writing group started.
Yeah, I think it was about a month.
And you asked me to go with you, and I'm not the writer, you are. But just, I went in just support of you and went a few times, and there was this lady there named Jeannie, and she wrote, or came up with rather, this plan of how to do Bible memorization for kids. And she teaches Sunday school at First Woodway. And so she was showing us the classroom. And as we were walking down the hall to the classroom, I was asking her, like, because the school that I worked at was also a church. So I was like, oh, do you guys have to share the classroom with the school during the week and stuff? And she's like, no, it's like, I can set it up the way I want to. And I was like, well, that's cool. And then we walked in the classroom and I started looking around and she started talking about things and I just started crying and I didn't know why. It wasn't until that moment that I realized how much I missed teaching, and I had no idea that I even missed it. I was done. I was like, that's behind me. Like, I don't do that anymore. And you were able to see that. And she was talking and she looked at me and I was crying and she was like, are you okay? Because she wasn't talking about anything emotional. So that's kind of where it started coming back to me. And I started praying more about, well, and even before that, with the parent group that we did in town, and being able to see how much there's parents need help. And so that, I mean, it's kind of been stirring for a while, but that walking into that classroom is really what brought it back up for me, that maybe I should be teaching. And maybe that's not now, but at some point.
Yeah, I remember just looking over at you in that classroom, and I knew in my heart, I was like, there's no way she's not a puddle right now. And I looked over and saw you, just, your eyes were red, just full of tears, and you're so upset. And it's crazy how your calling can just show back up in a moment and make you realize what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, and I don't think I realized it was a calling until then. I did. I knew I was good at teaching. I knew that I could reach kids in a way that other teachers didn't. But I was doing it. Like I said, I started it because I wanted to be around Emma more. And then when we got the boys, I didn't want to be away from them either. So the kids always went to the school, whatever school I was teaching at. And I enjoyed it, but I always thought it was something that I enjoyed doing. And I didn't realize until then that it's more than that.
Yeah. And that parent group that you mentioned, for the audience, just to let you know, she volunteered to come into, what's the name of the place?
Hopes.
Hopes. It's a place here in Waco that equips parents and helps them out and teaches them stuff. And Crystal had volunteered to speak there. And it wasn't a big audience, but I was there and support and recording and stuff like that. And those ladies, they were leaning forward. Like, they were hungry for the words coming out of your mouth, and they really wanted that information. So with the fact that this calling has resurfaced in your life, what's the next step for you?
I don't know. I'm kind of praying through that right now. When I started at the call center, I thought this is it. Like, this is going to be my new career. I'm going to like move up in this company. Maybe I'm not going to be teaching until the kids are gone. I don't know. But I'm just praying through that right now. And whatever opportunity comes up, I am intentionally being different though than I was before, because I don't want to just jump into something because it's familiar or because it's easy. I want it to be God's will. I don't want it to just be, hey, I think this is the right thing to do, so I'm going to do it and try it. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, we're getting too old for that, to just jump in and hope it works out. Yeah, and that's wise. So let's shift direction. Our two boys, if you guys have listened to the first podcast, you would know that they're adopted. And they're at a very interesting age right now, 12 and 13. And there's been a lot of stuff changing over the last year since we moved to Waco.
I just called my mom this morning so that she could hear how much Isaac's voice has changed.
It's dropping. Do you want to share with the audience just a little bit about the last year and the struggle that has came into our lives and how we've been navigating that? And yeah.
Since we got the boys, it's been hard. But I feel like ever since your dad passed, things have been harder just because things are harder for you. And our life has kind of been all over the place since your dad died. So I think a lot of that change and stuff has brought up more stuff too. And so we, this last year, can't believe we've been here in Waco for almost a year, day before Halloween. It got really, really hard. And for everyone, and just being able to realize that God brings us through things so that we can rely on him more. And without the struggle, it's, yeah, it sounds really great to not have struggle, to have just a peaceful life and just go about every day. And, but there's no depth in that.
The difficulties in life, we hate them so much. And we cringe when we go through the hard times, but it's those hard times that often God can reach us when we're on our knees and we're like, God, I've tried everything. Please help. And he's like, okay, cool. Well, now you're ready to listen.
Well, I think we got to that point probably a couple months ago where we, I mean, like I said, they've always been hard, but it got a lot harder. And we were kind of at the point like, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, where do we go from here? Like, nothing's getting better. Everything is just getting worse. And what do we do? And like, I used to struggle a lot with, I used to yell a lot and I used to just be angry all the time. And I think, and it sucks to even say, like, that the repetitiveness of it is what I needed to grow as a person to get me to that point where it's like, okay, what you're doing is not working. And like, I remember just a couple of weeks ago when the interactions were not great, he got really upset and started throwing a fit like he usually does.
Yeah.
And I was able to just pray through it and I didn't snap back and I just let him keep going. And usually I would just feed into it and just fight back and just make the whole thing worse. And I was able to pray through it. And we were at a football game and he ended up sitting in the car waiting because he didn't want to go. And when we got back to the car, he apologized that I shouldn't have acted like that. I know that my ability to be able to pray through that helped the outcome and to be able to rely on God and not my own emotions or how he's making me feel or what he's saying or doing to me.
That's beautiful. It's a painful place to get, though.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, but it's painful to get to the point where you realize you don't have any control in this situation. And teenagers, they're a little bit different than the younger ones. And it seems like every day it's like, I know there's stuff going on that I have no idea about because I remember being a teenager and being able to just take that to God and trust that it's going to be okay. Because even if we don't know every nook and cranny of their lives, God does. And he's watching out for us.
Well, and I think this is what helped us with parenting so much too, especially with Emma so much older than the boys. So the hard times happened with her when she was, when the boys were much younger and they were still in their easy phase where they just listened to you blindly.
Okay, we had well,
it's different when they don't have so many of their own opinions. But to be able to, and I think it's important in all aspects of life, to be able to reflect back and think like we did with Emma, like we were teenagers. We understand what you're going through. Like, this isn't new. Like, you're not the first teenager to ever do this. And we did the same things, felt the same way that you're feeling. And I feel like that really helped with our relationship with Emma too. And I think it's helping with the boys as they're turning into teenagers too, to be able to not just punish every misdeed, but to turn it into like, hey, we know, bud, we've been there. This is hard, but here's what we can do instead.
I agree. And I'm trying to incorporate scripture into everyday situations as much as possible. And that can be difficult because at the end of the day, sometimes kids don't want to do things. And like last night with going to the men's Bible study, you know, both kids didn't want to go. One was mouthing off a little bit. But it's like, hey, dudes, like little dudes, listen up. This isn't optional. Sometimes you got to do things that you don't want to do and you're going to survive. It's okay. And I really want to teach them how not only to honor God and love God and love other people, but also to become men and not weak men, because this world is conditioning children, especially boys, to become men that act and operate a lot like women. And that's not biblical manhood at all. And I constantly refer back to you as the way you treat your mother is going to be the way you treat your wife. This is your testing ground. This is how you can develop how to, you know, manage and take care of a woman in a different capacity. But yeah.
Well, they have a great example.
Jesus has helped me, and I had a pretty good dad that taught me how to take care of my wife and love her. All right. So let's talk about my dad since we just brought him up. So my dad passed away 2 years ago. It was a difficult time. Do you just want to share how that kind of went for you?
The whole thing, how it happened, was pretty sudden, even though I think we kind of knew, because we jetted down to Texas pretty quick. But when it happened, I was the one who had, I couldn't lose it because someone needed to drive. And I was the driver. And then we had to go tell people and I had to drive. And so it was probably not even until the next day that, I don't want to say that I wasn't allowed to, but I wasn't able to be upset because I had to make sure everything else was okay. Because we had to tell the kids when we got home. We had to tell your siblings. We had to tell everybody. And like I said, someone needed to drive. And so when, especially when all the family came around, no one made me feel the way I did, but it felt more like, why should I be as sad as I am?
Like self-condemning.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Okay. Yeah. Like he wasn't my dad. He wasn't my, but I mean, we spent a lot of time together and we talked to him every day.
I think it also, just knowing your history and your own family and stuff, you've never lost anyone. I think that was the first real loss in your life.
Yeah.
Of a major.
Yeah. I had lost my mom's dad, but it was different because, not that it wasn't like, I wasn't sad about it, but he wasn't part of my life daily. So right. it was still sad. It's like, crap, my mom doesn't have a dad anymore. And my papa is like, and I never really got to know him as an adult. So that was hard. But with Joe, he was part of our daily life. I mean, we practically lived there every summer. And I mean, that's something that we looked forward to all year long, like going back to Texas to spend time at your parents' house.
Yeah. After the loss and going back to Idaho, like it's a very blurry memory for me, a very blurry time. Mm-hmm. Like I was just trying to get through the days. I remember retreating a lot to prayer. And I remember easily being triggered and angry. And it was a lot to deal with. But I never got the feeling from you like, I shouldn't feel this way.
Yeah.
You were always supportive, always loving, always caring, and always taking care of the kids and everything at the house. Like you just kept going and you are strong. So let's spend some time talking about marriage. We've been together almost 15 years married, and it was tough at the start. was pretty difficult. I was previously married, not for very long, and you were previously married. And that time coming together and starting a life together was difficult. Do you have anything that stands out from those early years that you can talk about and draw from that might be helpful to someone?
Well, I think us getting together was in the midst of me being the most broken I've ever been. And not only did you help me through that, but your family. And so us being together is more than just you. And your mom would lead me to scripture and your mom would pray with me. And I had known God my whole life, but never really had anyone that did that and made it real. And so being able to have that in our lives, and but they lived in Texas and we lived in Idaho, and that wasn't just something that happened all the time. And so there were some rocky years where, like I said, I've never not believed in God, but I haven't always followed him. And I had a hard time with submission, because submission, like for most women, it's a dirty word because it sounds like I ain't gonna listen to no man. But I brought a lot of baggage into our marriage when we first got married. And because I got married so young and all of my dreams of how my life was supposed to be were shattered, and trying to figure that out and regroup it. Thank God for unanswered prayers, because if things worked out the way that we prayed for things in the moment, then we wouldn't get to see what God had for us.
I agree. And I like to think of the fact, I don't know if I like to think about the fact, but the reality is, if everything was absolutely perfect, nothing in our life would be existent right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've appreciated the fact throughout the years that you don't nag me. You don't get after me. And it's allowed me as a man and a husband to be able to open up emotionally, because I don't feel you're going to climb down my throat if I mention something. And you create a safe environment to talk about things with you to where I feel like I can be open. And I appreciate that about our marriage and about you. Do you have any tips for the women on marriage and stuff like that?
The example I had of a mom growing up is, my mom was always, she made sure everything was taken care of. And she was very submissive, and it's kind of worked out in our marriage in the same way that my dad was kind of nutty like you, in where like he gets a harebrained idea and then, all right, let's do it. So I had that example for my mom, that just go with it. Just, it's not a big deal. Just go with it, and to take care of the house and stuff. I mean, I wasn't always going along with everything you wanted to do, and I used to nag you about that. But your mom had given me advice to you just say, that's cool, and just listen. And because 90% of the time, it's not going to come to fruition. It's not actually going to happen. So just fighting about it and bickering about it in the moment is not worth it. And so once I started doing that, because it's true, most ideas that we have don't come true. And just being able to just, that's cool, honey. That sounds great.
Now you're on a podcast. You've always been very supportive in everything that I have wanted to do with my life, unless it was going to be damaging to the family, especially when I was younger in my 20s. I don't even know how many times you helped me from saying something, texting something, doing something that would have just been dog water for my life. And when I read the Bible and I think about that helpmate, I think of you, because you are so helpful in so much, in so many different ways, whether it's around the house or with the boys or whatever it is, you're Johnny on the spot. Or Crystal on the spot. I don't know who Johnny is.
I don't know, but I've been called Johnny on the spot by multiple people.
All right, let's finish things up talking about where you feel like you're at in this season of your spiritual journey?
I feel like I'm kind of in a weird spot right now. I mean, since the teaching thing came back up and just, I mean, we're homeschooling the boys. Things have been crazy for a while. We homeschool them and then we tried putting them in school and that didn't work out. And now we're homeschooling again. But homeschooling with me didn't work out. So now you're homeschooling. And so things have kind of been up in the air. I feel like I've always had a relationship with God where I know that he's going to work it out no matter what happens. I've never felt like in that way that I've ever doubted that. I just feel like right now I'm kind of in a spot where it's hard for me to read the Bible every day. I don't know what to read most days. Sometimes I just open it up and just, that 31 days of Proverbs things where they say like you could read one proverb a day. Sometimes I just do that and just trying to figure out how to get deeper in the word again. I don't know what that looks like right now.
So what is the last piece of scripture that you read that you felt, this speaks to my life?
It wasn't necessarily a scripture. I mean, it's from the Bible, but that sermon I was telling you about the other day about how he was talking, because I feel like we're in a season of waiting right now and just waiting to see. And I don't know if we'll ever get out of season of waiting. I think that's just life. But where he was talking about how when Moses led them out of Egypt, and if he had led them like through the town and the other way, it would have taken them 11 days to get to the promised land. But instead, it took them 2 years.
That is so wild.
Because God took them the other way. And that's how our life goes. God, we think, hey, what if we went this way? And God's like, nope. And we're like, but God, like, look, it's right there. And we're like, nope.
He's always working on a different angle that we don't even see, because we see a straight path forward and he's like, well, yeah, we could do that. But if we go this way, I could work on this aspect of your heart and I could teach you this, this, and this.
Well, if we learn how to deal with the big battles by fighting little battles.
Yeah. And they stack on each other. That's cool. You're going to start a parenting group possibly in Waco. How's that going? Where are you at on that?
I think I've worked out, like, right now I'm just trying to find a place to do it. I think I just need to find a place to do it. Because I think after that parenting group and the things that we do with the kids and we've been doing, I mean, when we got the boys, we read every parenting book, watched every parenting series. We went to everything parenting that we could, like, we had no idea what we were doing because we got the boys and we're like, is this trauma behavior or is this boy behavior? Like, we don't know what's going on. And so I feel like, and with teaching and me dealing with different kids in schools, being able to learn all that I've learned, I didn't realize until I did that parenting talk that if you don't know, you don't know. So many trainings that we've done and been able to implement in our lives that people can use, and things that I thought were just super simple. And they were like, that's crazy. How did you do that? And asking like questions about it. And so for me, it's like,
right.
So that's why I want to do it.
What about that pastor guy, you know, at work? Have you talked to him? No? Well, maybe you got to have a conversation and get that ball rolling. I think you'll do great.
I'm excited.
It should be good. All right. Any last words, my bride?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on the show, sharing your heart, your journey. Thank you for listening to Beyond Sunday with Benjamin Chapin. If this has encouraged you, please share it with somebody and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss what's next. If you'd like to invite me to speak at your church or next gathering, or maybe you just want to explore the 60 plus books I've published, be sure to visit BenjaminChapin.net. And remember, faith was never meant to stay inside church walls.